Luke 9. Luke 9. All right, I'm not waiting around today. We are way late. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If the people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and they went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead. That's John the Baptist. Others that Elijah had appeared, and so others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. I'll read 12 for you there. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done, and then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for the testimonies that were brought earlier in the service, Lord. I thank you for the testimonies and the statements of praise, Lord, that the folks had for me. It's challenging to receive that, Lord. But what is more challenging is your word this morning, Lord. And I pray that you would enlighten us, Lord, that you would anoint us to hear from you this morning, Lord, that we might indeed be transformed, Lord, that we might come into your presence, Lord, and that we might have a touch from you, Lord, and leave here, Lord, healed, transformed. You meet us, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody know what that is? It's a bomb. It's one of the bombs that they found, what was it, Friday? That were headed toward a synagogue or two synagogues in New York City to be in Chicago? Oh, yeah, Chicago. Okay, thank you. They were sent, they believe, by Al-Qaeda in Yemen. And their intent was to bring terror in the United States. And these are the kind of guys that sent them. Radical Islamist terrorists who want to sow destruction and death and fear among the world. Attacks and plan for Western Europe, really the world over. And people give Muslims a wide berth. You know, there's an aspect of fear that is out there. There's an aspect of, hey, don't mess with Muhammad. Don't mess with these guys or they might come after you. And you know, the opposite seems to be true of the church. There does not appear to be any fear for the church. There does not appear to be any fear for the Lord. And it is confusing because there is such power that is spoken of. There is such power that we read about today, the power to cast out demons. Well, I mean, would that get your attention? Yeah. The power to heal the sick. Sally's looking for that today. Actually, many of us are looking at that for that today. You know, the promise of power, Jesus says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the other ends of the world. The progress of the church, the power of the Holy Spirit tracks that progress. And we see that this promise was not just for the apostles, but that this power, as the church spread on those people that were coming into the church. And so we hear about this power. And I wonder Where is the power in the church today? Where is the fear of the church? Where's the fear of the people of God? And I, as we read this, that the power of God is tied to the message of God. And then I believe that the church today has no power because she has no message. That if you have no message, you will have no power, and that you will have no provision. And that is God, you know, we talk about the bread of life. We talk about God giving bread to his children every day as they, 40 years, they wandered through the wilderness. And here we talk about provision for his church that would come regularly. And we do not see that. We see the church holding her hand out to the government, begging. And they say, well, we'll give you some bread. But you better shut up on that message. And I learned a long time ago that you can't stand in line from the government for money and still preach the gospel of the Lord. They said, we'll give you all this money, but just don't be talking about Jesus. And the church has got no power. And I have questions for you today. Do you have power? Do you have a message? Do you experience the provision of God? Have you experienced the healing touch of God? The great testimonies here this morning, earlier. If you got here at 10:15, you missed out on a bunch of church folks. Do you have a focus on the message of God? See, we can be radically transformed one by one. You can be walking around. There's some people that are lit up for the Lord in this place. You know who they are? Is it you? Or do you look at somebody else and go, oh, man, that person's lit. See, when you focus on the message of God, you get supernatural backup. Title of today's message, Kingdom Benefits. Let's take a look. Amen? Amen? See, there are benefits with the message. The gift of power. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And we're talking about power. We're talking about spiritual power. We are talking about power. Listen to me now. We are talking about the power, the ability to cast out demons. And I'm wondering, is this a big deal? Because you might be thinking, oh, how quaint. Drive out demons. Is this a big deal for San Diego in the year 2010? Is this a big deal for City Heights in the year 2010? And we can be thinking, ah, it's so primitive. How outdated that is. We are so beyond all that. And I tell you what, you take a look. If you watch TV, if you watch the news, if you watch TV, you can see that our culture's in a tailspin because there's a lot of garbage out there. Can I get a witness on that? And if you look at the news, they'll tell you about the stuff that is going on in our culture. And you know what? Nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's fighting it. We see moral decay all day long. And it appears that we are fighting a losing battle. And it's like, we don't know who we're fighting. Paul talks about it. He says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, I'm getting back to what? That spiritual power, because you might have a need that you're not aware of. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil that are arrayed against you. Power to cast out demons. See, we can be walking around not even aware who our true opponents are. We can be getting beat up and down, fighting the wrong battle. That's a little heavy. We'd be like the Chargers. 2 and 5. And you know what? There's something wrong. Why isn't it working out? Why can't we get it together? Same thing in the spiritual realm. Sometimes we got opponents we can't even see. And we're 2 and 5. And people are saying the season's over. And Jesus says, there's power available to you that you're not aware of. Have I got your interest?
Amen.
Amen. We talk about physical power. He says spiritual power, physical power, the power to heal the sick. And again, I ask you today, is that a big deal? 2010, San Diego, is it a big deal? Because today if you're sick, you go to the doctor. Today if you're sick, you go to the pharmacy. You get some medicine. Just in case, you tell you get a little throat spray right there. Now, folks, I got no problem with doctors. I got no problem with medicine. I inject insulin every day. But my question is, and my problem is, and we got such a great health care system, where is the Lord in our healing? Where is the supernatural power of God in our healing? You got cancer, we hear there's healing. There are all kinds of stuff. But I tell you what, folks, there's some stuff that is falling through the cracks. Folks struggling with depression, ADD, ADHD, chronic pain. We got folks like that in our church. And it is like you just get shuffled through and get cycled through medicine after medicine after medicine. And they're looking for just the kind of the mix that'll keep you from coming in the office. Can I get a witness on that from anybody? And you know what they'll do is then they'll declare that you are disabled. And they'll throw you a little bit of money. A little bit of money. And what they'll do is they'll get you on a little bit of a buzz. And they'll give you your meds for free or near free. And they give you a little bit of money. And they just say, stay away. And what happens? You fall out of the fight. All of a sudden, the enemy's got you on the sideline. But if you get well, you lose your little bit of money. Well, I don't want to lose my money. I don't want to lose my Section 8. And what happens? You ain't fighting no more for the Lord. Lord says there is healing. There is healing that is available to you. But there is this combo thing in the scripture. There is the ability to be healed, but you also got to have a desire to be healed. Can I get a witness on that? That is why I asked Molly. I said, Molly, so hey, you got healed, didn't have to do nothing. She said, oh, no. I asked Julie, I said, you got healed, didn't have to do nothing. No, man, I am still fighting day by day, pressing into the healing that the Lord Jesus Christ has for me. It is not just a bystander kind of program. I'll take a healing, you know. I'll take a number and wait. There's more that's involved. Previous chapter, chapter 8 of Luke, there was a woman who had an issuance of blood. She was bleeding, internal bleeding type thing, that was going on for 12 years. Been to every doctor, spent all her money. She was ceremonially unclean because she had this blood. Couldn't relate to people. Her life was messed up. And Jesus came by and she says, man, if I can just press through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Blind man, out on the road, crying out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. The word there, crying out, is like crying like an animal. And the disciples are going, shut up, dude, shut up. And Jesus said, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Bring that blind guy over there and say, hey, man, you got lucky. I'll tell you what, there is an effort that is required, the ability to be healed and the desire for healing and the pressing into that healing, that transforming process, that which will make your life whole. And many of you are pressing through to that. 10 lepers came to the Lord, said, Lord, have mercy on us. And he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they had to go show themselves to the priest and prove to the priest that they were clean. And it would take several days. You'd check them out and say, come back, let's see how it looks in a week, whatever, da-da-da-da. And they go through that process, and all 10 are declared clean. And only one comes back to find the Lord and to thank him. And he says, where's the other nine? I said, I don't know, Lord, but I came back looking for you. And he says, your faith has made you whole. And see, so beyond healing, there is wholeness. And the Lord would have you press in, and the Lord would have you work at finding the wholeness in your life to find the power to fight the spiritual battles that you encumber, that you might find freedom and liberty in him. Am I talking to anybody here?
Amen.
Faith for power, faith for healing. And what is it tied to? It is tied to the message of Christ. The message of the cross. Because if you have no message, you don't need any power. You won't pursue any healing. When we commit to the message of the cross, we see spiritual power in our lives. When we commit to the message of the cross, we see healing in our lives. And when you get the message right, we feel the power. We get the message right, we experience healing, and we begin to wield it. Because if you ain't been healed, you aren't going to have the faith to use that healing power for somebody else. If you have not experienced the spiritual power of God, you are not going to wield it on behalf of somebody else. See, you experience the Lord cleansing you and empowering you, and you come across some situations going, whoa, there is something that is going on there. There is a spiritual darkness that is right there. And you can just come and say, in the name of Jesus. And you got to act like a freak. You know what? I can just come up next to this guy right here and just say, I'd just be doing some serious spiritual warfare, him not even be aware of it. Now me, I'm rather bold. I might say, hey, you know what? I want to pray for you. And I'll just start being bold. You can do that. Don't walk on by. You come near to a spiritual threat, jump out on that thing. You bring an attack. You are pushing back the gates of hell. Can I get a witness on that?
Yes.
See, you come near a sickness, right? Like Yuseli. You know, he's got a cold. Okay, you know, hey, anybody, you know, you just got a cold. It's like, oh, it's just a cold. You want to be healed of a cold? Thomas has got, what do you got?
Muscular dystrophy.
Muscular dystrophy. You want to be healed? You know what? We begin to push back. Timothy, you got operated on 12 years ago for your feet? They said he would walk for 2 years. They have no clue why he's still walking. God's got a clue. And I'll tell you what, he wasn't been walking with the Lord, but 4 or 5 months now, right? So the Lord held him together for 12 years to get him to this point. He's got the bone density of a man 140 years old. He'd fall down the mall and just fall apart. So what do you got to do? You come by here and say, Lord Jesus, just pray that healing right on you. We got the power. If you have not received that healing, if you're not pursuing that healing, you will not be able to push back the darkness that closes in around us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
See, maybe you are here today and you are struggling with depression. You are struggling with ADD, ADHD. You're struggling with a relationship. And you're just saying, you know what? I need help pushed back from around me. I need some healing in my life. I need some provision for my life. Are you here today? Do you need that prayer? He says, you got faith to be healed. If you want, I want to pray for you right now. If you have anything, you need just the darkness pushed back from you, I just want you to stand right where you're at. I just want you to stand right now, very quickly. I'm going to pray for you rapidly. Anybody else? Stand if you need it. All right, if you are sitting, well, everybody's standing over there. You know what? Everybody's standing. All right, Lord Jesus, I just pray right now, Lord. I just pray a loosing of your supernatural healing power, Lord. I come against the attack of the enemy, Lord. I come against, Lord, the demonic attack that will be manifest in this place, Lord. The Bible says, your word says, we submit to you, resist the devil, and he must flee, Lord. And we just kick those demons right the heck out of this church, Lord. Right the heck out of our lives, Lord, because we have power, Lord. We have power to resist, Lord, the enemy that would bring an attack. And, Lord, we declare this place by your power, by your name, by your word. That we are free, Lord. We give you praise for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can sit down. Where does that come from? What's that power come from? Comes from lining up on the word. Right? You got no message. You got no power. You got no provision. Now, you got to line up. Make sure I'm at the right spot here. No. I got to hit that spot in a minute. All right. Here we go. So I told you I wasn't going to go any shorter today. But actually, that was my longest point. The gift of provision. The Lord would position you for trust. The Lord would position you to rely upon him. And some of us are not comfortable with that. Some of us are not comfortable living a life of faith. He told them. He's sending them out. He says, okay. And they go, cool, we got the power. And then he says, take no bag, no staff, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Say what? No provisions. Just leave right now. Bam. Starts off. No staff. Staff. Walking stick. Right? It's like, okay, I can do without the walking stick. Right? Staff used to walk. Staff also used for protection. And what the Lord is saying is, head on out. You stay true to my message. You stay true to my plan. You stay true to my call. And I got your back. Can I get a witness on that, please? And you're thinking, that's pretty good. Because I tell you that you are in God's plan. You are invincible as long as you stay in that plan. Amen?
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. I want you to get the wrong idea. Okay? You see, John the Baptist was beheaded. James, brother of John, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, was killed. Book of Acts. Let us not forget that Jesus was indeed crucified. Part of the plan of God. I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Because sometimes the plan of God will take you through some pretty hairy stuff. And you know, it's like John the Baptist, you know, he's like, hey, God, we had a plan, man. They're cutting off my head. You know, and he's thinking right up to the minute they're chopping his head off, I'm going to get saved. And a wham, cut his head off. His eyes are blinking, not even hooked up to his body anymore. He's thinking, I got ripped off. And he ends up in heaven. He says, oh, no, this is okay. Oh, I'm fine, Lord. Forget that last thought that I had, doubting you. Oh. See, when we move on from here, it's an upgrade. Can I get a witness on that? Now, when you keep that in mind, you go, okay. Now, people get killed following the Lord. Sometimes it's in the plan. And sometimes they just messed up. The Lord will direct you around issues, folks. Real question is, can you hear him? Because the Lord will be going, don't go in there. Just go in there. Now, there are sometimes, man, I'll get in places and I will be tripping out. Woo! This is bad. This is wrong. And you know what? I am looking for a place to get out of. I am out of here. And the Lord's going, high alert, watch out. You are not to be here. And I am out of there. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm in some strip joint or something. I'm just saying sometimes you just be in a place where a crime's going to take place and the Lord will spare you that crime, right? Walking down the street, hey, there's a car, a bus is going to come and be out of control and take out the, get out of there. You got to be sensitive to that word, and then the hair be sticking up on your neck, move. You get in heaven, and it's the Lord, am I supposed to hear? He says, right, I was telling you, man. But you didn't move. But you're in heaven now, you're fine. I'll get somebody else, you know. We'll just kind of... are you okay? Are we okay here? All right. But he says, you know, he says, don't carry the staff. Why? Because when you got the stick, sometimes your focus is all wrong. Amen? Like, man, I got to figure out how to use this thing, man. Like, I'm going to go places where my stick can protect me rather than where the Lord's going to protect me. So he says, hey, don't take a stick. He said, don't take no bread. And some of you are saying, oh, that's okay. I'd take some tortillas. No. That's not what he's talking about. You're missing the point. The Lord is saying, trust my supply. Trust my supply. He said, don't take a bag. Why? Because I don't want you to take none of the bread I gave you this morning for lunch. I got you three times a day. Or I got you as many times you're going to eat. Because sometimes you might just be eating too much. I'll put you on a diet if you need to be on a diet. Don't take any money. Why? You can go out and buy some bread or tortillas or whatever you want. He's saying, look, I want you to trust me. I want to put you in a position of relying on me. You rely on me, you'll be fine. Do you do that? God positions you for trust. Some people can't handle it. B, he'll give you a place to stay. He'll give you a place to stay. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Now, back in the day, if you were a Jew, you know, you'd go to the town square and you're a traveler and the custom was you'd be invited someplace to stay. Now, you might not get the greatest place in town. You know what I'm talking about. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody getting invited to somebody's house and you're going, oh, let's leave. Can I get a witness? Come on now. Now, what are these guys doing? They are healing the sick, and they are casting out demons. They are making life transformations possible for people. So what might happen? A new invitation. Wow! You guys just saved my son. Come and stay at my house. I got a better thing going on than this dump you're staying at. And what do? You get to go move your stuff. People giving you stuff. Can't have a bag. Can't have any money. Can't have any bread. But, man, you can find a way to put some stuff in your pockets. I don't know. So now you got to be moving your stuff. You're getting all these invitations. So what happens? You start trying to upgrade and get a better situation. The Lord says, no. You enter a house, you just stay there until you're done with that town. Why? Because I want your focus on the message, not on your upgrades. Power of God. The provision of God. Story of the Pope talking with Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas, Saint Thomas Aquinas, theologian, lived in the 1200s. Thomas, Pope speaking to Thomas, said, no longer can the church say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas said, neither can she say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. There's been a change, a transformation in the church. Church is sold out. See, we got bags, we got bread, we got money, but we got no power. Because to get the bags and the bread and the money, we got no message anymore. You got a message? You want to experience the power of God? You want to experience the provision of God? You want to experience the healing of God? Are you lined up on the message of God? Some of you say, yeah. Tuesday, we have an election. We'll be voting right here downstairs. I have voter guides for you. They are Christian voter guides. Now, I can't tell you from the pulpit who to vote for. But I can leave these in the back and you can pick them up. And I didn't make them up. talks about here whether or not a candidate would support marriage between a man and a woman. I guarantee you, if you read the Bible, God likes marriage between a man and a woman. If you got any questions on that, I'll be happy to spend as much time as you want. In fact, I got lunch with Pastor Bob tomorrow. We can go through any questions on this as you want. My wife was talking last night about the ban on partial birth abortion. Now, I guarantee you, our Lord is not in favor of partial birth abortion. Guaranteed, guaranteed. I'll talk with you for hours on that. There is a thing on here, Christian conservative worldview. Looking at this first person on this thing, the candidate, an 8% of what he's got lines up with a Christian worldview. This person also is not in favor of a ban on partial birth abortion, is also not in favor of marriage between a man and a woman. And many of you, unless you look at this, are probably going to vote for that person. Now, what I want you to do, if you are interested in the power of God, the provision of God, and lining up on the message of God, then your life needs to line up on the message of God. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
And your vote should line up on the message of God. So, some of you might vote and it don't line up with your money. That's good. Because a vote, it'll line up with the message. I got these. I got 15 of them. I hope and pray every one of them is gone. Guess what? I'm going to count them at the end. I'm going to be real disappointed if only three are gone. I talked to somebody who was going to vote for that person that I described. I'm taking one for that person. Because I tell you what, folks, church got no power because the church has no message. And you vote for somebody that's in favor of partial birth abortion, you will have no power. Got to line it up, folks. Got to line it up. Hey, well, all right. Anyway, I told you I was going to just preach regular, okay? Kingdom impact. Hey, folks, some of you guys are real quiet right now. I'll tell you what, our country. Just one. There you go. Okay, there you go. That's good. She gets brownie points in heaven for this, by the way.
How we know.
I'll tell you. Come tomorrow at lunchtime, I'll tell you.
No, about.
I know. Tomorrow. I got to preach right now. I'm already long. Our country, anybody think our country is raising its moral standard? Anybody going, oh, yeah, we're doing good. Folks, church got no power because the church got no message. Church is sold out for cash. And we got to start, and we can change things one by one. One by one. All right. Kingdom impact. If the people do not welcome you, and this is so harsh, you know, people say that Jesus is so loving. They didn't read this part. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. There are those people that are not interested. There are those people who do not care. And Jesus says, just keep on going. There are those who will say no. One of the values, one of our core values at City Heights Assembly is if you're looking, we'll help you. But if you ain't looking, you can just keep on going. Jesus says, there are people that are going to tell you no. Don't hang up all your time on them. You say, well, how am I going to know? God will let you know. God will point you at somebody who's going to say yes. Why? Because that's what he's about. It's not like anybody's just going to come to the Lord on their own. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And when God was drawing Thomas, man, he had like a neon light blinking on top of his head. God's doing a work in me. Stephen, blinking light. If you pay attention to the message of the Lord, to the voice of the Lord, he'll put you on somebody that something's going to happen with. And who are you spending all your time on right now? The painful people, the people that are a pain in your neck, that are just saying, no, 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 no. Let them say no. And then God says, Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet on them. And so we don't like that. We don't want to be confrontational. We want to be politically correct. Why? Because we got no message. We got no power. We got no provision. Why? Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. Bible says that the gospel is a stumbling block. What does that mean? It means that people are going to fall. People will trip. People are going to be on the ground. And you got to let them hit. Jesus says, don't waste the opportunity. Make them say no. Make them feel it. Make them crystallize. No, I don't want your Jesus. It says, okay, I'm moving on. But judgment day comes. And Jesus is going to say, remember you told me no. And he goes, oh, yeah, I remember that day. All right, I'm pretty long. Are we okay?
Yes.
Anybody bored?
No.
All right. Pastor Dave, I'm going past 35 minutes. We're going to talk about length of sermons. So you tell me all this good stuff. I just go, oh, I'm going to preach long today. Yeah. People with impact. See, that's what God's looking for. God wants you to have impact on the people around you. God wants the people around you going, whoa, what's up with that? God's got the power. Herod the Tetrarch, he was like the king, right? He's like the king over the other Romans, hooked him up, said, you know, you're going to be our boy and, you know, pay us off. Heard about all that was going on. He was perplexed. What's going on? Because some were saying it was John the Baptist being raised from the dead. Man, I cut that dude's head off. It ain't him. Others saying it was the prophet. Some say Elijah. He said, who is this? Who is this person? I hear such things, and he's trying to see him. Oops, I'm sorry. People with impact. Herod heard the report. What do you think he heard? Herod, what's going on, man? People are being healed. Demons being cast out. There is some stuff that's going on. The word is spreading like wildfire. You hear anything like that about the church today? I got to know, where is our power, folks? Where is our provision, man? Demons are smart, you know. I tell you, we got all our provision coming from our SSI check or SDI or whatever. It's coming in the mail. I don't got to ask God. Who did they think was doing all this stuff? John the Baptist, Elijah. Notice it wasn't a Roman elected official. All this stuff was attributed to who? Men of God. The people of God. It is somebody who is hooked up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that is being busy around us. And Herod said, I got to go see this person. I got to see what's going on. People amazed by you. People amazed by the power of God flowing through you. Where's your reliance level? Where's your kingdom power? You trust in God? Are you relying upon him? Because if you are, you got a message. We don't hear these radical things about the church today. No reports, because there is no power. Hey, I'll tell you what. The Muslims, they send a couple of bombs out of Yemen to Chicago, man, and it's on every news agency. And their toner packages packed with some explosive material. How puny compared to the power of God to cast out demons and to heal the sick. Where's the message about the church? Where do we care about health care that Obama is bringing us when we got healing in our fingertips? I don't care what Obama does. We have the best health care in the world. God has got the best health care ever created. I don't care what Obama does with the health care. I don't care what my doctor does. Jesus is taking care of me. Why? Because I got a message. I got power. I got provision. I got bread of life. Glory to God. Church has no power Because the church has all she needs. Church doesn't need anything more. Got money, got bags, got sticks, got everything. Problem with the church, she does not have what she needs. And what she needs, she doesn't have. How about you? Do you have what you need? Are you content with your bank account? Are you content with your job? Are you content with your little SSI check? Are you content with your Section 8? Do you have any need in your life for a miraculous move by the power of Jesus Christ in your life? You say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to follow your message, Lord. I'm going to cast off my bag, my money, my stick, my bread. And I'm going to follow on you with all that I got. See, when his message becomes the focus of your life, when you know his message, you'll know the power and you'll know the provision and your life will be transformed. Can I get a witness on that? It says, there are benefits with the message of Christ. And we're going to pray. Lisa's going to come up and sing that song, More Love, More Power. But we're just going to meet with the Lord right now for a minute. You are mighty in this place, Lord. Your provision, your power, Lord, the spiritual attack, Lord, that we dwell under, Lord. The spiral, the death spiral that our culture is in right now, Lord. See, the lack of morals, Lord, the lack of a message, the lack of a church, Lord, that stands for righteousness and holiness and power, Lord, and that has healing, Lord. Let this place be that, Lord. Let us be people of your message, of your spirit, of your power, and let us be healers, Lord. Let us be people that press through, Lord. Press through to find wholeness of life, Lord Jesus. Man, I'm at a loss right now how to finish this service. But I believe that the Lord is looking for those who would leave the past behind and who would leave some of the trappings of life behind and pursue with a wholeheartedness the message, the fullness. And I don't know where you're at today. I know some of you are lit up for the Lord and I celebrate you. And some of you are battling and I've been praying for you. I prayed like crazy. Some of you said, I was praying for you last night. Fired up. We're going to sing this song. And you want to press into the fullness of God. You want to press into the healing of God. You want to press into the power of God. So I want you to just come up here, and we're just going to have a time of worship. We're going to find more power.